Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Leila, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. This is the Jazz Queen, and it is Sunday, August 22nd, 2010. Mike, hello, how are you?
Uh-huh.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me introduce you to Victor Fields. Victor, meet my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Victor? Okay. Doing great, brother.
I'm doing good. Doing good, man. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. Cool. Thanks for coming on.
So we want to welcome those in the chat room, Boney Fan Carol. Victor was in the chat room. I guess we lost you, Victor. You may have to go back in. Do a refresh thing and go back in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and
okay.
Also, welcome Jazzy Chick and all of the guests that are coming into the chat room. If you would like to join us in the chat room, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com, click on the TSJ Radio Show page, and then the Play Chat button underneath the Victor Fields Show. And you can also call in to speak to Victor by calling 646-716-5485. So Lou Rawls calls him the man with the golden voice, and the L.A. Times described him as a stylistically accomplished singer who deserves much more attention. His fourth album, Thinking of You, features Richard Elliott, Jeff Lober, and Rick Braun. Victor Fields, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Well, thank you, thank you. How are you today?
We're doing fine, doing fine. Thank you for coming on. I'm spending some time with us this Sunday afternoon.
Well, you know, it's nice to be sitting in one spot for a good hour. You know, this has been a crazy journey we've been on for the last couple of months. So, thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, everyone in the chat room is saying hello to you. He was in the chat room a few minutes ago. He was in under Oaktown Soul. So, when you see that, that would be Victor. He'll be coming back in shortly. So, okay. Victor was a fan request by Celia, who lives in Australia, and I had asked Celia if she wanted to come on and be a fan co-host, but because she lives in Australia, it's Monday there, and she's at work. So she sent us a list of questions for you, Victor, so I want to give a shout-out to Celia and thank her for the artist request. And, Victor, you're sounding a little muffled.
I am, huh? How do I sound now? Do I sound better?
Yeah, okay, so now you're in the chat room. All right, so chat room, just let me know how he sounds to you. Okay, all right, so you can see them all in the chat room now. All right, so Oaktown Soul is Victor Fields. He's in the chat room, has Oaktown Soul. All right, so let's start with one of the questions from Celia. She wanted to know, what artists have you worked with, and could you tell us some of the experiences you had working with these artists?
Wow. Well, you know, I've worked with a lot. I guess it always is your very first CDs. I'm going to go back to my very first CD, which was Promise, and the artist was also my producer, and that was Kashif. And that would be my final answer.
That would be your final answer?
That's my final answer.
He said that would be his final answer. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you know,
funny.
It was my first time in the studio, you know, and it was where I learned the really the how to record. You know, we were having a discussion yesterday about this, and you know, there's two disciplines. You know, there's being a recording artist, and then there's being a performing artist. And so working with the sheep was when I learned, that was like my first lesson on how to become a recording artist.
So that's my final.
Is that a good answer?
Yes. Yeah. She also would like to know, do you play any instruments, and what instrument captures your musical imagination more than any other?
Well, you know, I stumble around the piano. You would never pay for me, pay to see me perform as a piano, as a pianist. But the piano has always been around my house in some form or fashion. My mother was a Juilliard trained pianist, so I can stumble around the piano in terms of trying to write out things or suss out some musical ideas. My favorite instrument. I would have to say I love percussion. That's really something that's like the train that kind of drives the engine. I love percussion. But I would have to say from a pure sound perspective, you think about that. I'd have to say a saxophone, probably an alto saxophone.
Okay. All right. I just want to say you're still sounding a little muffled, Victor.
Okay. Let's try something different. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on.
So, again, if you would like to call.
Does that sound better now?
Yes, that's better.
Okay. All right.
Yes, much better. Much better. Thank you. Thank
you. Okay. Okay, good. Okay.
Okay, thank you. All right, so again, if you would like to speak to Victor, the number is 646-716-5485. I have a question regarding your – I'd like to start with your career and working with Kashif.
Okay.
How did you guys meet?
We met through an introduction through a mutual friend here in Los Angeles, and it was purely exchanging ideas about music. I was invited to his house. It was actually 4th of July. It was a barbecue. And we got into a discussion about digital versus analog sound, and he was talking about how he had developed this new sound, and did I want to hear it. So we went from the party downstairs to the studio, and we spent a couple of hours down there just talking about music, and I shared my ideas about what I wanted to do, because I had already started my first CD. Promise was about maybe 75% done. And when we finished the conversation, he just said to me, well, I'd love to consult you because you're a new label, because I was doing everything on my own. And when you get back to Oakland, why don't you give me a call, and I'll see how I can help you in terms of, you know, consulting in regards to promotion, marketing, distribution, even some recording things. And so that was we got back home and sent him some of the music, and he replied and said, you know, would you guys mind if I contributed to the project as the producer? And we said, yeah, heck no. So we sent him a producer's agreement, and within 3 or 4 days we started recording here in L.A. at Music Grinders, and that's basically, I mean, it happened that fast. It happened within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Vic, I was going to ask you, I know that you decided to start your own label, Regina Records and everything, but was that always your plan to go independent and stay independent, or were you looking to just do that for a while and then try to catch on with the label?
I had when I first started, you know, because this started as a hobby, and it started as something I was like doing after work, and sitting in with at different clubs and piano bars and things of that nature. And then as you know, you get responses from people, you realize maybe I can take it
another step, then another step. Initially, I had started the label without any consideration for me being an artist. I had a couple of other acts that I was interested in promoting, and so I really had tabled any thought of me doing anything. But as we got into this, I started thinking, well, you know, why don't I give it a shot? And so I, you know, decided then to, you know, to change directions and focus more on, you know, things I wanted to do as an artist. And I had done some showcases and had some interest. There were a couple of labels that I had done this thing in San Francisco. It was like the California R&B Showcase. And when you finished with the showcase, you got to sit with major labels. And we got as far as, you know, a tender, kind of a tender offer with a label. But, you know, it was one of these things that when they sat down and they talked to you about the direction and what they want to do, it's like, I wanted to have that control, because there was very little discussion about music. If there's, you know, I was expecting a conversation to go like, well, you know, we've got these particular songwriters that might be interested in working with you, and we've got this production, and we're going to do these business type things. And all I was getting was like some really crazy stuff, like those kind of image things and very, very general kinds of things that had very little to do with artist development. And I was also reading a lot about how artists were signing with labels, and their projects were getting, you know, tabled, or they felt that they weren't getting the type of attention that they needed to grow as an artist. So the decision not to go with a major label was basically one of feeling that I wanted to have artistic and creative and management control over not only the project, but over my own resources. And that's the route we took, because, you know, what you have to understand, and I don't want to talk too long about this, but when you do a major deal, it's a loan. So, you know, you don't pay on the front end. The label pays on the front end. So all these things that happen are all recouped against your royalties.
Yeah.
So, you know, either you're going to pay some kind of way. So I figured that if I'm going to spend the money, then I want to have control over how the money is spent. And I think we've done a pretty decent job of that. So I'm really happy with the direction we've taken. And I think now with the internet, all independent artists now are able to get the attention. I think we're going in a direction where it's a more level playing field, and I'm pretty excited in that direction.
Okay.
So true.
So we have a question from the chat room. Bony Fan Carol says, doing everything on your own, was that a difficult task?
You know, you don't do everything on your own. You know, you what is it? The buck stops here. You know, I mean, you write the checks, you make the decisions, but you have there's a whole cast of people who collaborate. So the biggest decision is, you know, when you do it, put it in the corporate terms, I'm the CEO. I'm the chief executive officer.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get the person who helps you to really put your plan into action, and that's your producer. So I've been very fortunate to work with two producers over four CDs. My first one was with Kashif, and then the next three were with a great producer and an even more fantastic musician, Chris Camose. And, you know, so that relationship right there made everything easier for me, because when you flip it, I'm also the artist. And what those types of producers do is they protect you from a lot of the day-to-day grind, so that you can prepare yourself artistically to go in and do what you have to do in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been very, very fortunate, and I have to say that I don't do it on my own. the musicians come in and they do their thing. We've got the engineers, the second engineers, the recording studio. It's a whole collaboration, one big organic unit. And if you have the right producer who is really dialed into your vision and into the sound you want to create, that is like 85% of the battle right there. I've been very fortunate.
Okay. I want to let you know that JJ from the Jazz Network is in the chat room, has Woman of Jazz, and she posted that you are the ambassador to the Jazz Network, and they came to support you. So welcome, JJ. Thank you.
Now, before we get into the music and everything and stop playing some music, in addition to what you're doing as far as the recording and everything like that, you also was doing a lot of good marketing, working with the N5 marketing group. And I know that at one time you had, do you still have the van, the VF Jazz Express van?
Yeah, it's still rolling.
Okay.
Oh, that is too funny.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, that was kind of ingenious to me because, like, a lot of artists don't do those kind of things and give out, like, a toll-free number to call and things like that. Whose idea was that? Was that your idea, or did you guys collaborate and say, hey, let's do this with the van and you can sign 3 CDs and, you know, give away a package of CDs? Whose idea was that?
Well, you know, first of all, the N5 marketing crew is that company is owned by Mike Nixon. So I want to give Mike some on-air credit. And we had met a show down here in Los Angeles, and we had met, and we'd been talking back and forth about, you know, working with him. But he worked with a lot of more hip-hop rap groups, and so I was like, well, how do I figure this in, because I have a different demographic. And so I had talked to him and said, okay, look, if we can come up with some type of an idea that works for what I do, I'm wide open. And again, it goes back to this whole thing of collaborating and giving people, it's like, you know, business is like the music. You get people room to breathe, and they bring life to, they've been creative life to projects. And so he came back with a proposal. He said, look, this is what we'll do. If you sign off on this, is what I'd like to do. And I wanted to get a street team. We're going to get this van. And I was like, wow, that sounds real, really nice. So we sat down. It took us about 3 months to design the van, you know, put the CDs, and we decided that I wanted to have the van a bright orange, because right after I talked to him, I saw a van in New York City. It was, I think it was 50 Cent had a van, and it was like dark. It was like navy blue, and it caught my eye, but it caught my eye after I went by the van. So I wanted something that was like, you know, when it just jumps right out, and you can't miss it. So we got this burnt orange. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it. It's on my website, and it's got this burnt orange, so you can't miss it. And so then he, you know, we talked about incorporating ideas that Mike had from working with other groups, and some worked, some didn't. So it was kind of a cafeteria-type menu list, yeah, no, yeah, no, yeah, no. And then we finally came out with this with this final project that I really think has been a lot of fun. I don't think anybody else is. I'm sure some people are also doing it, but we've gotten great response down here in Los Angeles from that van. I've gotten about 3 marriage proposals. I had one, she made a U-turn. She told me, she said, I saw the van. She said, I saw the eye candy on the van, made a U-turn on Figueroa and chased them down to the next gas station. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Wow.
So, you know, what more feedback do you need to let you know that something's working? That's like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm like you, Mike. I think it's very ingenious, too, because according to his website, this is how Victor goes around using the normal methods of promoting the music and distribution. He takes it directly to the fans by this van. So that's I like that too.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea as well.
Well, you know that's you know, you look at marketing and you just look at a problem, and the problem is always one of delivering a product, you know, and so if you're independent, you know, you spend a lot of time, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm up early. I work a lot. People say, are you on vacation? I'm never on vacation. It's always a working vacation. I'm always thinking about ways to keep what I do relevant and ways to communicate creatively and intuitively with my fan base. So, you know, it's just, you know, that's what you have to do. I mean, you just can't go to sleep. You have to, you know, if you're sleepy, then you're really going to lose out, because if you're not doing it yourself, somebody else is doing it, and chances are they're not going to do it any better than you would have done it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what happens if we have any L.A. listeners, tell those listeners what happens if they see the van on the street.
Well, they see the van, what they do is that everything, I mean, you can't miss it. It's got website and big numbers all over it. So unless you've got cataracts or, you know, you can't miss it. But I'll tell you right now, there's a toll-free number, and it's real easy. It's 888-899-9100. So it's 888-899-9100. And just call that number, and we'll take you through the rest of the process. We have what we're doing is, I have four CDs, and so now we're talking about catalog. We're not talking about one CD or two CDs. I have four CDs, and I've been very fortunate that all four CDs have gotten very, from an independent standpoint, and probably from some major acts as well, I've gotten very good airplay. And the number two CD, 52nd Street, actually peaked at number 12 on the Billboard chart. So we've had, you know, we've had some indications to let people know that this is very good music. This is real music. All of my CDs are based on live musicians. We don't get it twisted. It's live music, and then if you use technology, the technology is used to augment or make the real music sweeter. But we use real musicians. Everything I do is based around a whole rhythm section, live horns, the whole thing. So we know that in the marketplace, when people hear it, they like it. So we're putting together a package. So what it basically is if you request to purchase all four CDs, you get one free. So it's like $29.99 or something. Yeah, $29.99 for four CDs. Mm. And so that's the VF Jazz Express. That's the deal. So when people see the van, they call the numbers. That's like your van, and then but what we did was we just opened it up. You know, you don't have to drive around LA and hope you see the van. I only got one van. It's a big city, so if you just call the toll free number, you know, we'll do that for you. And we have if you have an email address, then what you do is you use PayPal. It's very secure. And don't be surprised when you call if I call you back, because I don't have accounts receivable. I'm accounts receivable. I'm the artist, executive producer, mail clerk. You name it. So I'll call you back, and then if you want to have it autographed, I'll even autograph it and send it out to you. It's just really, you know.
Okay. Personal. You can also find out more information about the van on Victor's website, victorfields.com. All that information is there. It's called the VF for Victor Fields Jazz Express. So go to the website and check that out. All right, let's get to some music. Thinking of You. Tell me about this CD.
Oh, yeah. Everything I do is kind of thematic. So this particular CD is a tribute to contemporary artists that are my favorites. There's Teddy Pendergrass. I have the Gap Band, Michael Jackson. Who else do I have? Lovely Day. You know, so all of these songs are tributes. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? They're tributes to artists and songs that are contemporary, and then what I do is I put what I call a little twizzle on it. I reinterpret it and try to bring something of my own and make it a little more contemporary. So that was the purpose of this, and it's when Thinking of You is a return to what the fans wanted. And when I came out with my very first CD, it was more urban AC, it had more bite to it. And so folks were saying, hey, you know, that's my favorite CD. And so we did kind of an evolution back to that particular sound, which is, it has a little more bounce to it. So that was thinking of you. And I've got some great artists. I've got some great artists on it. You know, Jeff Lorber's on it, Richard Elliott, Rick Braun. Those are just big names. I've got what you've got is you've got to read the inside liner notes because we've got the best of the best from the Bay Area. Our trademark for what I do is called the Sound of the Bay, and we have artists on it that were with Tower Power, Santana, Escobedo bands, all of these great musicians that are just clustered in the San Francisco open area are on this CD, in addition to these, you know, headline multinational type artists. So it's a very good CD. Got a lot of great radio play from Urban AC, a little bit from Smooth Jazz. You know, Smooth Jazz is more instrumental, but they sneak in Thinking of You in there and Lovely Day. But it was a very, very good CD, and I think that we'll let people judge it when they hear it. And but I tried to put my foot in it. So we'll see if I got enough of my foot in it for listening.
Okay. I want to welcome a listener in the chat room from Japan. T. Shombiism, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Welcome to the show. He or she is listening from Japan.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to start off with Lovely Day, and this is from the Thinking of You CD.
And Mr. Bill Withers.
Hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, there's heavy on my mind. And then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's to face when someone else instead of me always seems to know the way. Gonna be, hey, a lovely day.
We are talking to jazz vocalist Victor Fields. That was Lovely Day from his Thinking of You CD. And, Victor, I want to thank you for joining us in the chat room as well and hanging out with us. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, hey, I'm having a lot of fun here. So. I think there was a question from Boney Fan Carol. She wanted who's on keys. In the chat room, she asked who's playing on the keys, who's the keyboard, and that's Jeff Lover.
Jeff Lover, all right. Okay.
Now, Victor, I wanted to ask you real fast. I know that on your previous CD, you used Gerald Albright, Jeff as well, and Chris Bode. On this one, you're using Rick and Richard, and, of course, Jeff as well again. How do you select who you want on your CD? How do you go into the process of selecting who you want to be contributing to your CD?
You know, when we started recording, we came in with a philosophy, you know, because you come in as a music buyer first, you know, I'm a music fan. So one of the things that used to be driving me crazy is I'd go to the store and I'd get a CD for $20 and it'd have, like, you know, 18 songs on it and two that I liked and 16 that I could do without. So we spend a lot of time really addressing that because we think that music fans expect and deserve more for their money. So we do this whole process of song selection first, and what we do is we start with just the vocal and a piano. We don't do any other instrumentation. And then we build everything around the voice and the direction that I want to go in. So I'm given, like, total freedom to go where I need to go and create some ideas, and then from there we come up with a basic arrangement. And I tell you that Chris Camozzi is an absolute genius at this, and so I don't want to sit here and take credit for it, but he's an excellent guitarist, his best instrument are ears. And then what we do is we sit down and we cast, just like a movie, we cast out, you know, who we think would work best on a particular project, and then we reach out to that person, and if they're interested, then they come in. So we sit down with each song, we get like a little list of people that we think would really make it happen. So with Lovely Day, you know, we wanted to have that Rhodes piano sound, and who better than Jeff Lorber. And, you know, Jeff has been involved in quite a bit of my stuff. He actually co-wrote two songs on this particular CD, The Ballad Thinking of You, and then there's another mid-tempo a song called It's in Your Vibe. So he co-wrote both those with a wonderful writer down here in Southern California, Chelsea Nicole. And then he was also on my 52nd Street CD. He was on there with me playing a Rhodes piano again. So some people we use because, you know, we like them, they come back, they're repeat artists, but, you know, we stretch it out a little bit, and it's like a movie, you know. Once you get the scene set, you know, who do you cast? You know, and that's how we figure it out. And we've never gotten a no yet, so no one's ever called us back and said, man, because we try to put the track, you know, make the track interesting and exciting for the artist.
Okay. Another question from Celia. She would like to know, where do you get your musical inspiration from?
You know, it's one of these things that comes from a very quiet place. You know, usually you get your inspiration when things are very quiet and you're able to really dial into something, you know. It's like when you go to the bank and you want to get a loan and you don't have any money, and then, you know, so you're not going to get the loan. But when you go to the bank and you have lots, they want to give you every credit card that you don't need. And with music, it's like you have to dial in and it comes from a very unexpected place. So it's a process of finding something in the quiet, in the silence, and staying dialed into it. Like, for instance, there was a ballad, my very first original song that I put on that I recorded was a song called Thomas. And that came basically, I mean, it came in sections, you know, the story came, then when you dive into the story, then it's like, okay, here's a verse, or here comes another little nugget, here's a part of the chorus, and all these things start to come to you, and kind of, I think that's how inspiration works for a lot of people, but that's how it definitely works for me. It comes from being very quiet and very focused and dialed into a particular project or an idea.
Okay. All right. I'm going to play another song. Mike, do you have a question before I do?
No.
Okay. I absolutely love the title track, Thinking of You.
Oh, okay.
I love that. That's what I'm going to play next. And you definitely put both feet into that one. I love that song. Oh, I love
good
that.
That was great.
That's
great. I wanted to let people know that the saxophone on that track is a gentleman by the name of Vince Lars. And Vince is from Richmond, California. And if you're familiar with Tony, then you've heard his saxophone. That's where he comes from. So. And Raphael said he. But wasn't that saxophone too much? Wasn't that saxophone beautiful?
Yes. That whole song is just, I love that song. Love that.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a question for you from a visitor from Japan. The revolution of jazz and technology has allowed them both to collaborate in the creation of music. With so much technology out there today to produce music, what is the future, in your opinion, for living jazz or synthetic production? I think maybe live jazz or synthetic production.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a singer, so everything I have that I produce is organic. But there are a lot of new technologies around microphones that really help to really augment what you do. Now, and I'll give you an example. You know, I took voice lessons. So when you sing and you sing with some type of technique, you create not just the sound, but you create an overtone. Maybe some of the chat room and listening understand what overtones are. It's what you hear, even when you hear a saxophone. It's like you hear the note, but you hear more than the sound, and you may not hear it, but you feel it. And so you create these overtones. So the technology now is catching up with, you know, what God has created. So it's able to capture the human voice. And so in that respect, that's the synthetic part of it. But, you know, the one thing about jazz, about music, when people are playing things, it comes from someplace first, and then the technology always comes later. And the key is not to let the technology strip away what you did organically. And then I'll give you an example. I did a song with Kashif. It was called Van Morrison's Moon Dance, and we were doing a root tone in the studio, just sing something. And so I ran the song down from top to bottom, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, we should put that up on TV." And I said, "Well, why not?" So what we did was we took a click track, so it was counting out the same.
I'm sorry, we're losing you a little bit.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we ran the song from the beginning to the end, and then the music was built around the vocal. So that's a synthetic production, but at the same time, it doesn't diminish the organic aspect of what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
I heard about auto-tunes, and, you know, some people spread out. Some people... We can't abolish auto-tune, but some people really need it.
sometimes you have to have it, huh? Mm-hmm.
You want that auto-tune. Oh. you don't want to hear them without auto-tunes, but, you know, but don't make it so obvious, you know?
Yeah. Victor Fields, fan one, you answered this question in the chat room, says, if you could collaborate with any artist, living or dead, who would it be?
Marvin Gaye.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
And then Jazzy Chick would like to know, who are your musical influences?
A lot of the classic singers. I'd say like Nancy Wilson, Joe Wood, Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke. And then there's a lot of instrumentalists as well. You know, I listen to a lot of older music because I think that there was it was a little more arts driven. Those are the ones I would say. And I'd say a beautiful voice that really doesn't get much credit is if there's any Temptation fans out there, Eddie Kendrick.
Oh yes.
That's a beautiful. I mean, it sounds like that voice is going to tear at any major. Get you on the edge of your seat just with that voice. You just don't know. That voice sounds so vulnerable, you know. So, I'd say Eddie Kendrick. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to another song. This is "Walking in Rhythm" from the Thinking of You CD.
Thank you.
Walking in Rhythm, a Blackbirds cover. Victor, you have such a nice voice. I love your voice.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. One more question from Celia. She would like to know, what gigs do you have coming up, especially in September?
Well, you know, if anybody's kind of followed, you know, what I do, I don't do a lot of touring. But you know, I pop up here and there, and really the best we did, we were in London, and we popped up did a show in Manchester. And so the best thing to do really is, you know, I don't have a calendar, but go to my website and join that mailing list. And a lot of times what'll happen, I'll just be someplace, and it just will happen. Now that being said, the next few months, I'm really kind of nailing down some ideas and directing for the feet for five. And I think with that particular release, we're going to get out on the road a little bit more. So I would really just stay to the website and get on that mailing list. Anything happens, you're the first one to know. And then we get into 2011. As promoting a new CD and we'll be touring a little more extensively.
Okay. Okay. All right. Mike, do you have any more questions?
So with the song selection on this CD, like I said, you had so many songs, so many great songs and great singers to choose from. I noticed that you said that you pay a lot of good attention and a lot of respect to a lot of the real classic singers, and you try to incorporate that into a lot of the music that you do. But with this CD, what was your selection? What was the process of picking these specific songs for the CD? Because there's so many to choose from. Why these songs that you picked?
Well, you know, they start, you know, obviously it started about 40 or 50 songs. You know, we spent a lot of time just, you know, because we whittled them down. I don't think I've ever had a CD that's had more than 11 songs on it. So we cut down to about 25% of the list. And there's a lot of things. You know, some songs you just shouldn't do. You know, just because you just like it, you shouldn't sing it because you can't bring anything to it. So it cut for that reason. I mean, I'm not going to put into it. I can sing everything. I mean, some things just, you know, they've done right. I just need to leave it alone, and but that goes on one side of it. But there are some songs like that tell. I guess, you know, if you listen to what I do, and I've kind of looked back over the whole thing as well. I just sing a lot of love songs, and that's really what it's about. I think somewhere along the line, intuitively, man, I just sing these little love ballads, and I tell you, the song that never really got a lot of attention was a song by Michael Jackson called Butterfly. And it's written by, this man put it on a CD. There's so much controversy around him that it just overshadowed the music. So of all of the Michael Jackson songs that I could have done, I did Butterfly because, what a sensuous love song. I mean, if you really get into that lyric, I mean, what he's saying, it's a masterpiece, and people don't know that it's by Flo Rida.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Victor, you're on your way to Vegas.
Yeah, I'm coming up to Vegas. And the people say, where are you performing next? Well, I'll be performing at the local blackjack table.
When you tell me that. At the blackjack table, okay.
Yeah. I'll be the brother table crying into the napkin, you know.
And what casino will you be at?
Anyone that will let me win. I'm walk up and down the strip until somebody lets me win, and that's what stay for a while, but so you know I'm gonna wear my shoes. I walk up down the strip trying to do that because you know.
Yes, you are.
I just tell people I'm going to Vegas to make my deposit.
Really? So are you on the road now, headed to Vegas?
As soon as I am packed and sitting in my hotel room here in Los Angeles, and as soon as I hang up the phone, we are gonna get on the road. We'll be in Vegas.
Okay.
And
all right.
I'm going to be up there. I hope I see you, and I know I'm going to see JJ the Jazz Network worldwide. I'm going to see her, and I'm going to see my good friend Pamela Black. And
How long are you
going to
be here?
You know, it's an either or question. It's either going to be probably I'm going to be sometime on Friday because I haven't been home since July the 2nd.
Okay.
So it's an either or question. It's either Friday or if I run out of money before Friday, then they're gonna have to get so fast.
Then you will probably be leaving sooner than Friday.
Well, you know, and also Pamela Black has some type of function there in Las Vegas. So if you're in Vegas, stay close to the list because I might drop in and just sing a couple of songs. While I'm there. Okay. So if you stay close, I'll announce it on Facebook, which is, you know, if you got Facebook, everything, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, it's all Victor Fields at the end, and you can find me. And I may drop in and just sing a couple of songs, and if you're there, it'd be great to meet
you. Okay. Well, she hosts the Sunday brunch at Gordon Biersch. So,
okay.
Yeah, I will find out where you're going to be. Definitely give her a call and find out where you're going to be. All right. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been fun. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room and thank all the listeners. I hope you all had a great time. And visit me on my website, and I hope I've got four great CDs. So, you know, pick one, two, three, or four, and you can't go wrong, I hope. And thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you again, and safe travels to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
All righty.
All right. Take care.
Right. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. All right, that was Victor Fields. His CD is called Thinking of You. You can pick that up on his website, victorfields.com. I think I will try and meet him when he gets here tonight. I'll give him a call and try to meet up with him. All right. Mike, you have anything to add? We have about 2 minutes left.
No, that's it. We just got some more shows coming, this Monday and Tuesday?
Tomorrow we are talking to Jarrett. That's a rescheduled show, so he will be on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And then on Tuesday, George Duke comes on to talk about his new CD, Deja Vu. And this is the second time George has been on Talking Smooth Jazz, so I'm looking forward to talking to him again.
Yeah.
And real
– Jared and George, definitely.
Yes, definitely. Real quick, I read on, I believe it was on smoothjazznow.com, that Nathan East ruptured his Achilles tendon. And he was scheduled to go into surgery on August 7th, so he probably did the surgery. And a friend of his is filling in for him, Dr. Abraham Laboriel is filling in for him while Nathan recovers from his surgery. So we want to just wish Nathan a speedy recovery. And also Eric Darius, Uptown Swagger, from his new CD On a Mission, went number one this week. It was number two for 4 weeks, and this week it went number one. So congratulations and shout out to Eric Darius. All right, thanks to everyone in the chat room, Andrew, Carol, the guests, Crazy Old Man, Jazzy Chick, Tony, T. Shombeism, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, Victor Fields Fan 1, Woman of Jazz, JJ, and all the guests. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. I appreciate it. Again, tune in tomorrow night for our interview with Jarrett. You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you tomorrow. Until then, keep it smooth.